Surprise. For those of us who have not been part of a life at the table where we have warm beverages, let me just norm it out and say they may come in this room, right? Because it's something we used to take for granted that we have not had since March of 2020. So we are grateful for Heather coming in very early, as we say, oh dark 30, to make coffee for all of us and to heat the water, and we think it's working, and all of our cups are washed. How did they get washed? In a dishwasher. So, yes, we are grateful. We are grateful to be together and to move into worship. This is a song by Liz Wright, and it's got a great, it works on us, I think, works on our bodies. And I invite us, if we are willing and able, to rise and move with the groove of Liz Wright, I Remember, I Believe.
I don't know how my mother walked her trouble down. I don't know how my father stood his ground. I don't know how my people survived. I do remember, that's why I believe. I don't know why the rivers overflow their banks. I don't know why the snow falls and covers the ground. I don't know why the hurricane sweeps through the land every now and then. Standing in the rainstorm,
yeah.
the power of the universe, it knows my name. Give me a song to sing and set me on my way. I raise my voice for justice.
I remember once a saying from a woman at my church, 10 or so, I sat and heard her preach. 5 children she had birthed, and before, when going off to school, her mom had spoken in her ear, "Go with God, my sweet daughter. Yes, remember God is near." My own mom often told me, "You grow where you are planted," and I think it's my nature to make home where I am landed. Now, it's not always easy knowing when to come or go, and sometimes plants are nursed to life before farmers' hands resow. Sometimes it's the right timing to close an open door, and sometimes we live with hands outstretched and feet planted on the floor. Do trust your intuition, dear one. The letter read upon your stoop, reassuring you that you're surely connected, you're a part of some bigger loop. And isn't it something beautiful that our lives really do matter, that our welfare is the cities, and the cities are drinking water? It's not always clear, is it, if we're passing by homeward bound or home right now in this location? It's here, spirit's feathers sound. For roots do tie us to a certain place, and also roots do free us to drink from seas of grace. So permission to nestle into the bosom of a migratory God, to live the mystery of belonging, and if far from our old sod, to try on home as a verb, and find that roots also change. To grow up, we must grow down in ecosystem we sustain.
I could just sit and wait for all your goodness, hope to feel your presence. And I could just stay right where I am and hope to feel you, hope to feel something again. Thank you. change me from the inside. And I could be safe, oh, I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home, never let these walls down. But you have called me deeper, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You have called me deeper, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You will lead me. You lead me, Lord.
You may be seated.
Oh.
That music was so deep and oof. How can I get come out of it? Lead me deeper, Lord. Lead me deeper. Okay. Welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator for our community. We are grateful to be together for worship with you as we begin our four-week series called Deepening. Before I go with my script, I would like to say, surprise. Pastor Matt did mention last week that we will have a surprise, and we had our coffee outside, coffee, tea, chocolate, hot chocolate, and chai for all of you. One of the most amazing part about having coffee here is that, was a surprise for me, you can bring your cups inside. So, yeah, it's somewhat like we are connecting with everybody else. We're engaging together as a community. We are helping hand with each other. And this is an amazing way just to bring having something, a bit of normal life that we had before COVID. And with that said, I do have, would like to thank a couple of people. And I would like to thank Heather, who made our coffee this morning. So Heather, thank you so, so, so much. And not forgetting the plumbers and everybody who were there making the kitchen, as our kitchen has been nearly complete. And we're thrilled to have coffee and tea in this morning. With that said, I do have a clipboard here, and I would like everybody to volunteer in the hospitality team. We have a lot of things going on early morning and even the afternoon or in the second service after that, where we would like to invite people to come and help in making the coffee. We have a video. We have a step-by-step instruction. We also would like to say that volunteer in setting up our sanctuary and then closing up the sanctuary in the afternoon and also putting all the cups and everything away for our next week. So I have a clipboard and I would ask Pastor Linda and Pastor Matt to pass it around. The old way is now the new way. We had this before and Avery did mention it to me. It's like, Sarneet, we had a clipboard where you could just pass it around. I was like, okay, now I'm going to bring that back. Today's bulletin is available with the QR codes in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. For those of us gathering online at the table.live, Chloe is with you as our host this morning. Please message her in the chat if you have any questions or need assistance. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please text the word new to the number on the screen. We will continue to move in worship with song. We encourage you to rise up as you feel led and join your voice in the song as our music team shares a Liz Wright arrangement of Sweeping Through the City.
Then we'll go sweeping through the city, oh my Lord, where my loved ones have gone before. And we're gonna sit down by the banks of the river. I tell you that
I won't be back.
Hey, no more.
Loved ones have gone
before.
I'm like Sarneet. Can we have some walking clapping or walking music? I would love for our young friends to get ready and move your bodies with walking feet. Yeah. Back there in the back, there goes Harper. And Jill is back there. And Patty is at the door. And our young friends who are going to Godly Play will, parents, so you know, will be upstairs. And our youngest friends are in the nursery. In both cases, they will stay there until you come to retrieve them after worship. And I expect that to take longer now we have coffee. Mm-hmm. You know, you take the time while you have it. I'm going to share a reading from the Old Testament this morning. It's assigned for us by the Revised Common Lectionary, and it comes to us from the prophet Jeremiah, the 29th verse. I'm going to read verse 1 and 4 through 7. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Amen.
How bright you are. l'Acadie, de l'Europe à Amérique. La musique nous réunit, une famille. La musique nous réunit, de l'Ukraine à son souci.
Amen, amen. As our musicians move down, I want to invite all of us to just stay in the spirit of prayer to which that song has welcomed us. God, may your grace root us in the depth of this moment, that our hearts and our bodies, our souls, our lives might be opened up, that we might be called ever deeper into your love, as we seek to be your people for this day. So we offer this time in our lives in your creative ways and many names. Amen. Alison Russell actually wrote that song, You're Not Alone, in 2019. And then just a few months later, she, like all of us, was forced into lockdown. And she shared in an interview with the New York Times a mantra, a simple mantra, that kept her going. It actually emerged from this song during those first few months of lockdown. We are not alone. We are not what we have lost. We are more than the sum of our scars. And she would wake to this and hold this, come back to it throughout the days. And in the notes on this song, she continues from that mantra, we're the dust of the stars, the bones of the earth, the breath of the void, the expanse of our imaginations, the arc of art, the love in our hearts. We lift each other up. We are the beloved community every time we choose to be. Our circle is battered and bloody, but still whole. None above, none below, our one human family equal under the listening sky. Our children are up in godly play where they get to work in the desert, and one of those stories is about we are as many as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand. Our reading from the prophet Jeremiah, it was actually penned to the kind of experience that Alison Russell was reminding us of, penned to an experience of those who have been battered and bloody. The community to whom Jeremiah was writing in chapter 29 had been uprooted from their homeland, and they had been forced to flee some 900 miles away. The people of God in Jeremiah were living in a place that's language and food was not familiar to them. The customs were not their customs. They really neither desired to know those customs or languages. They simply wanted to go back to where they had been. Some of you may have been here a few years ago. Reverend Dr. Safwat Marzouk, who teaches Hebrew Bible on the East Coast, he reminded us that Scripture is full of stories written by refugees to refugees. And so we listen in. And instead of promising an alleviation of pain to those who had been forced into exile, Jeremiah calls those fellow exiles to adapt to the painful circumstances that have resulted from their forced migration. Reverend Dr. Alfie Wines said in response to this morning's reading that sometimes the good news that we need to hear is not what we want to hear. It came home to me when she gave it as more concrete examples. The doctor gives you that good health report, but says that you'll need to lower your carb intake, let's say 50 a day. Or that financial advisor that says that we're on target for meeting our financial goals, but you're going to need to cut back maybe one less time out a week than you've been going. Indeed, it's true that sometimes the good news that we need to hear is not what we want to hear. Jeremiah will continue on at verse 11. Will say, "For surely I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." Yet the future with hope does not look precisely like what the people of God are imagining in that particular moment. See, instead of announcing that God will lead God's people back home, Reverend Dr. Wines writes, Jeremiah offers practical ways for them to survive in the strangeness of the new land, the new country. Eventually, the exiles would have to wrestle with theological questions about God, but for now, it's a matter of survival. How is one supposed to survive in a strange land? I'm thinking of Omari's song that we should have sung for this morning as well. We'll do that for another day as we keep going. Jeremiah's advice that the exiles would last 70 years and that they should go on living would be the last thing that they actually wanted to hear. They wanted to go back. How might Jeremiah help a people so brokenhearted, so devastated? How might he offer hope in these, the worst of times? Blessing would come, but not in the way people had hoped for. Blessing meant coming to terms with the present. Meant praying for the captors in their case that they would rather disdain. This was all brought home to me as I was walking earlier this week. It's a podcast that maybe some of you tune into. It's Ira Glass's This American Life. And in the first act of last week's episode called Home Test, this story was shared about a 12-year-old boy named Ilya, whose family recently escaped from Mariupol in Ukraine. Mariupol, as all of us will likely remember, was a place that was under siege last spring. Food was running out. Russia was bombing a hospital for children and for moms who were giving birth. There was a theater that people were using as shelter that itself was bombed. Miraculously, Ilya and his family, his sister and his parents, escaped Mariupol. And on their way out, they actually stopped by his grandmother's home, but they couldn't get all the way to the door because the mines were set all around her house. So this little 12-year-old is telling this story, and the journalist is recording it. And it wasn't until hours later that they had to walk away from his grandmother in the house that this young 12-year-old boy would learn that his grandmother, who had raised him, was still alive. As he's telling this story, the 11-year-old who's filming the story stops recording, and so the camera or the audio just goes silent. And then the journalist tells us that this 12-year-old Ilya covered his face with his Angry Birds t-shirt. remarkably, that young boy in that Angry Birds t-shirt and his family, they made it to a refugee center in Warsaw, actually one of the nicer refugee centers as these get graded out. It's a place that actually offered long-term housing. Doctors, lawyers would stop in, psychiatrists would be there with them to help on site. There were actually playrooms for children, and there was food. It was, as refugee welcome centers go, it was well run and it was orderly. But Ilya and his sister longed for nothing but to go back home. Their mother shared the story about as their birthday was approaching, they didn't ask for presents. What they wanted was a ticket to go back home to Mariupol to see if the place they'd known was still a place that they could live. And it's into that kind of despair that Jeremiah is speaking in the story that Linda shared this morning, into the pain that Ilya and his sister knew. Jeremiah says, "Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." And I am abundantly clear that I am no exile from Mariupol. And we're not living in a refugee center in Warsaw. If anything, I came to see as I was walking, listening in on this story, like I listen in on Jeremiah, that my own context is likely a lot more like that journalist who had the means to hear that story and then return home as well. And I came to recognize that that's often the case, actually, as I'm listening in, not just to a moving image from Ira Glass, but to scripture. I'm listening in on a story. And in that same interview with the New York Times, Alison Russell said that it can be tempting. Her own experience is one of unbelievable trauma as a child. And she says, in that, we can then get into a place of what she called like trauma Olympics, of someone else's trauma is so great that mine can't compare. And Alison, in her singing and in her poetry, calls us to see that in trauma, we're actually called to go deeper into the heart, I would say, of God, and to discern what are we called to in this moment. Because this is not Mariupol, but this city is hurting. And as Jeremiah reminds us, our welfare is tied to its welfare. Our welfare is tied to the well-being of those around us and in every other part of all of God's creation. And so it seems to me this morning that the good news that we need to hear, much like the news that Jeremiah shared to a broken-hearted people, may not be what we want to hear. I tend to want to close off because it just feels overwhelming. As much as I'm tempted to care for myself and my immediate circle, instead, Jeremiah and our tradition, the deep tradition, not the distortion of Christianity, but the deep tradition that we are called, calls us to find our welfare in the welfare of those around us. Jeremiah invites us to love our neighbors by putting down roots amid the continued uncertainties of our day, to choose each moment to be beloved community. Jeremiah says, "Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." Pastor Steve Garnes Holmes writes about this in just the most stunning language, and so I invite you to hear his poetry. "God, this country is sick. Can I just move to another place? No. Seek the welfare of the place where you are. Even if you feel exiled from your hopes, exiled from your values, the city where you are needs you. Who else will carry my love among them? The country where you live needs your witness, your justice, your love. You who can afford not to flee, even though you suffer, be there to welcome others who are fleeing because they must. Even in horrible times, even in sick places, my beloved people need the love you bear to them. There, in your witness, in your love, is my grace. There, in their welfare, is your welfare. And so we wonder, what does that look like for you and for this community in this particular moment? And this isn't new wondering for us. As a community, each year in the fall, we revisit these same questions. We listen for each other. We listen for God moving within us and around us. We wonder what it might look like to deepen our commitments to being in relationship with each other, with our neighbors, with God. What it might be to actually choose once more to practice being beloved community. We celebrate this in what our community has come to call over the years our deep commitments. And this year we'll do that on October 30th. And we'll do that with a celebration of baptism and also an opportunity for all of us to renew our baptismal vows. Baptism is not something that happens once and then we put it aside. It is something we are called to, a deepening in over and over and over. And I know when we go into this series, I'm reminded often that sometimes the good news that we need to hear is not what we want to hear, because we live in a moment when it doesn't feel very good to make a commitment to tomorrow, much less for the coming year. We live in a world that says, go at it on your own. You don't need those people around you. And so it's a countercultural thing that we try to step into, this whole faith thing, a countercultural thing that we're called to step into. And so Pastor Linda and I and our whole administrative board, who'll be here later in worship to share for just a moment with us, we have already taken time together over these last weeks to wonder about what it looks like for us to deepen our commitment to God and one another in this moment. And you'll see, for those of you that look, whether it's on your phone or when you get home online, on this online deep commitment card, an invitation for you to join with us in reflecting. And what's it going to look like for you to practice your faith in this moment? How is God needing you to find your own welfare by caring for our neighbors? And we have movements that we think about that around, that we try to align our lives with God's hope for us. See, in a world which tells us that our worth is defined by the titles that we have, or by the wealth that we've accumulated, or by the achievements that we've attained. Our deep tradition calls us to listen for how God is calling us deeper by committing and recommitting our lives to being rooted in grace, to weekly worship through music and art and poetry and prayer and messages which evoke what Alison Russell so beautifully names, we're the dust of the stars, the bones of the earth, the breath of the void, the expanse of our imaginations, the arc of art, the love in our hearts. And there is nothing more, I think, that our city needs than the cello that Natalie plays or the piano that comes underneath, a community that comes back together to align ourselves, to root ourselves in God's love. But not just staying here through worship where we find sustenance, but in a world that tempts us to go alone, we also listen for a God who calls us deeper to put down roots, to grow in faith together. And we do that by holding our lives in conversation with the Great Commandment, gathering with a few other people to wonder about what does it look like to love God and love our neighbors. We call these kitchen tables and we practice our faith there. It's a place, as Alison Russell names, where we lift each other up. And when it feels like nothing that we can do can actually make a difference, God is still calling us deeper to put down roots and to love our neighbors. 2 years ago, as that mantra was keeping Alison Russell going, our administrative board made a decision that in just a moment, we're going to take a $1 lease and we're going to pay a Catholic church $1, and we're going to farm. We didn't know how to farm. The backside of their lot, and then everything that we grow, we didn't know if we could grow anything. We're going to give away to an interfaith food bank. That's kind of a risk-taking, radical thing to do. And that's what you all said, let's try it. And we did that because what we were trying to do at that moment was to figure out how do we address isolation among teenagers. We were getting ready to open a kitchen. We wanted to invest and remodel that kitchen, and then it wasn't safe to be in the kitchen. And so we went down to the farm, and we started to address isolation there. And then now, in the next couple of weeks, that kitchen is going to reopen. Not like a traditional church kitchen, not anything like that. It's going to be a commercial bakery. And in that commercial bakery, we're going to learn to bake bread and then share that bread. And the income generated through that bread is going to go to fund the ministries at the farm. The farm is how we're feeding people through an interfaith food bank in Sacramento. Do you see what that looks like to care for the welfare of the city around you and to find our well-being within that? And we do that because God calls us to see through the myth of scarcity to the reality of abundance. And for some of us, we live in scarcity right now because it's real. Inflation is rising in ways that we can't fathom. And for some of us, we will be like that widow that's giving two mites. And for others of us, like me, that is not the situation that I'm in. And so I'm called to dig deeper and to look at ways I've given in the past and go beyond that. And you may be in that place too, I don't know. But my sense is that wherever you are, like those people in Jeremiah's day, God is calling to you to go deeper, to put down roots where you are, to seek the welfare of the city where God has sent you and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find yours. Or just as beautifully as Alison Russell prayed, we're not alone. We are not what we have lost. We are more than the sum of our scars. So friends, may this season of sharing deep commitments to God and to our neighbors help us to put down roots that we might offer our lives once more and choose beloved community. Amen.
Jesus invited his closest companions, those were his disciples, that's what we call them, to put down roots in a hurting city so very long ago. And he gathered those friends around a table and he invited them to see their lives and to taste God's love in the sharing of daily bread. And he reminded them that when they feel alone, when they worry that all is lost, and the scars of this world are too much, that it is in the breaking of the bread that they can always remember. We are not alone. We are not what we have lost. We are more than the sum of our scars. And yet, still, we often still feel alone. As though we are what we have lost. Ugh. So the church prays what we call a prayer of confession. And that prayer of confession that we're going to pray in a moment is our way to acknowledge that in our brokenheartedness, we can lose our way. But it's not forever. So I invite you, if you are willing and able to stand, sitting is okay too, as we join our voices together in this prayer of confession. It'll be on the screen. Let's pray together. God of love and justice, this city of ours is sick. This world of yours is hurting. Yet we flee from the suffering. We fail to see our welfare in the welfare of others. We resist putting down roots. Forgive us, we pray. So let us remember, and even to look around the room. Friends, we are not alone. We are not what we have lost. We are more than the sum of our scars. God is always already putting down roots. Grace is always already calling us deeper and deeper and reminding us always that our welfare is tied to the well-being of all of God's great creation. We are not alone. God's love will never, ever let us go. Let us shout amen. Amen.
And I invite you to join with me in the call and response that has become the church's way of recognizing the belovedness of God in each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Gracious God, we give you and thanks for this holy communion, the body of Christ. Of your beloved Son, the body is broken, God's love. Lord, make us new. Abba, Father, we bless your name and take part in this holy communion. Make us all one to love.
Let us be in prayer together with the words that Jesus taught his followers so long ago, and they've been passed to the church throughout the generations and the ages. The church named this the Lord's Prayer, and we invite you to address God in the way that is deepest in your heart. Let us pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Pour your Spirit, God, upon these gifts which are before us and upon each of us gathered here. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us, through the sharing of this meal, your love alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love, and when we say all, we mean everyone. We encourage all of our online friends that are part of us, but not happening to be in this room, to bring close to you right now your bread and your juice, maybe light a candle close to you, or maybe you've already done that, and be prepared to share in this sacred act of communing. We know that always here there are folks who are with us for the first time, and so What you're seeing here is we share this meal out of doors, and we have stations outside, and Sarneet shortly will come down the center aisle and kind of direct you when it's your turn to go on out this door, and then you can come back around by the coffee setup and come back in this room. There are places to kneel and light candles and be in an attitude of prayer and contemplation. You're also welcome always to just stay where you are in your seats as we move through God's sacred dance, one with each other. Finally, I want you to know that outside the bread was baked for us this morning. There are crackers in the center for those of us who can't have gluten. And in the cup is grape juice, not wine, just so everyone knows this.
So friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ broken for you and the cup of God's love poured out for all.
As we move in this divine dance, also know that you can watch those around you. You can't make a mistake, so don't worry about that. Just breathe and move together.
Thank you.
We encourage those who are praying with candles to stay for just as long as you need. God, may the depth of your love bind us together and call us always deeper, deeper that we might find our meaning and our life in the threads of your grace, and that we might live in ways that reflect your hope for the world. So we offer this time and our lives in your creative ways in many names. Amen. I want to invite Derek Kirk and our administrative board. Some folks are going to come up and join us here. And as they prepare to do that, we would invite you to wonder about some next steps that God might be inviting you into. Some of you may be wondering about baptism and what that looks like or means to you. And we would welcome you. Please come up this way. I know we're breaking a line that is supposedly there. Pastor Linda and I would love to talk more about baptism for those that might be interested in that conversation. And Derek Kirk is our lay leader, and along with some other folks on our administrative board, has a short message that they would like to share with you all. There's Derek. I didn't see.
Good morning, everyone. As Pastor Matt noted, my name is Derek Kirk, and I have the privilege of serving as your lay leader here at the table, alongside of the individuals behind me and some online that are members of the administrative board. Deep commitments are a central part of our lives here at the table. Every year, we internally process and set goals for the ways in which we hope to stay rooted in grace, growing in faith, reaching in love, and giving generously. These deep commitments remind us that we long to be accountable to God and to one another. They're also the starting place for our co-pastors as they create worship series which guide and inspire our lives together throughout the year. Our deep commitments are also critical to the work of our finance team, though we don't always talk about this out loud and communicate about these things. As we project giving in the coming year so that our administrative board and our co-pastors can create the table's annual budget together. In the last 40 years, total giving to religious organizations has declined from roughly 60% to 29%. In the 12 years of the table's existence, we have seen giving through pledged and non-pledged giving increase on average about 10% annually. And giving has remarkably increased each and every year, even through the pandemic. That includes those who have made deep commitments, increasing our annual gifts each year. New people attending Growing in Faith and submitting a deep commitment throughout the year, and many giving outside of the deep commitment card process. However, this year, while we have seen non-pledged giving increase, we have not seen an increase in our deep commitments, and that has caused our revenue to fall a bit short of expectations. Now, we aren't here to scare you into thinking that the doors might close tomorrow. It's quite the contrary. Our co-pastor staff and finance team have done an excellent job maintaining expenses at the expected levels and lower in some cases. We are in a sound financial position with a healthy reserve for a church of our size. And as our community of faith continues to mature, we believe that it is important to share openly with you all about our finances. The table is 12 years old. We have made it to the point at which we are able to think to the future and plan strategically and financially for what is to come. While we are seeing an end-of-year shortfall in our general operating budget, we have much to celebrate. This year, our staff and volunteers have helped secure funding from our annual conference and CalRecycle to help fund Table Farm and the Table Farm and Bread Fellowships. We secured a grant from SMUD, and many of you contributed at significant levels to help us build a commercial kitchen that will soon open as Table Bread and today opened to allow all of us to have warm beverages in service this morning. All of this to further our outreach ministry and commitment to helping our neighbors that face food insecurities here in Sacramento. As we move into this series deepening, and the season of our community sharing our deep commitments, we want to invite you to join our administrative board in continuing our commitment to giving generously. I'm excited to share with you all that all 8 of our administrative board members, again, many are standing behind me here and a few are watching online, have submitted our deep commitments already. And together, we have increased our giving commitments by 25.6% for the 2023 year. Yeah, that's something to be excited about. Together, we have also committed approximately $6,000 to date in year-end gifts to help shore up the budget for the 2022 year. Great things are in store for our community in 2023, and we appreciate you sharing your deep commitment to this community and all of the ways in which we stay rooted in grace, growing in faith, and reaching in love. If you are able to contribute a 2022 year-end gift, there's now a question at the bottom of your deep commitment card online for next year. You can also visit thetableumc.org to learn about the variety of ways in which you can give financially to the Table community. Thank you all so much. Again, we can't express enough our appreciation for your continued commitment to allow this place to continue operating as our community of faith. Thank you so much.
We are so grateful for a phenomenal administrative board who guides us in our moving ever deeper into God's love, and we're going to go out this morning in song. I invite you to stand as you're willing and able. This is our music team sharing All Is Not Lost. So hear these words from the Franciscan tradition as we go from this space. May God bless us with discomfort at easy answers and half-truths, superficial relationships so that we may live deep within our hearts. May God bless us with anger at injustice and oppression and exploitation of people so that we may work for justice and freedom and peace. May God bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, from injustice, starvation, and war that rages, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort those who are in pain, turning with God that pain into joy. And may God bless us with enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in the world so that we can do what others claim cannot be done. Amen.